Oh, thank you, Ray. It's great to be with you. It's good to be back in the pulpit. I was a pastor for almost 40 years and then in theological education, and the exciting thing is to deal with 18 to 20-something-year-olds on a regular basis, sharing Jesus, talking about God, talking about the Christian life. It's a delight to be at Howard Payne and teaching there, but it's always fun to get back in the pulpit. Thank you, Jason, for this opportunity. I am a professor of Christian studies at Howard Payne, and I thought in order to kind of emphasize that this morning, we would start with a pop quiz. Okay? Bible quiz. My wife and I, COVID will make you do crazy things, right? We were watching Netflix, and there was the Great American Bible Challenge or something with Jeff Foxworthy. Have you seen it? You've not missed a lot. We were about two-thirds of the way through the first episode. I said to my wife, I don't think we need to do this again. But anyway, Bible trivia. Well, not trivia. This isn't trivial at all this morning. But here's my question to you for the pop quiz. There is one event in the life of Jesus prior to Passion Week. Now, that last, triumphant entry on through the crucifixion, resurrection, that doesn't count, okay? But one event prior to Passion Week that is recorded in all four Gospels. Only one event reported in all four Gospels. You want to guess what it is? Somebody might think the birth of Jesus, not in Mark's Gospel. Well, he starts off the beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist is in the wilderness, and here comes Jesus. You think, well, maybe the baptism of Jesus. Well, not in John's gospel. You think, well, maybe the transfiguration of Jesus. Not in John's gospel. What event, miracle, in fact, Jesus did, the only event recorded in all four gospels? I'm going to call on the pastor. All righty. The feeding of the 5,000. All right. Did you know that? Well, if you ever go on the Great American Bible Challenge, and that's a question, you're ready, right? Obviously, this was an important event in the life of Jesus. One of the things that maybe we need to understand is that Jesus here was fulfilling a messianic expectation that a prophet like Moses would appear and he would feed people in the wilderness again, like Moses had done before. Jesus shows up. He is giving them this hint that's who he is. He needs to help them understand what that means, and he will do so in John's gospel and help them understand this is not me about being king and kicking Roman booty and, healing wounded soldiers and not having to worry about a supply train for our armies as we take over. I'll just multiply bread. He says, no, it's not that at all. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, and whoever eats me will have life. Jesus says, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. As I am totally dependent on the Father, you need to be totally dependent on me. Jesus had to reinterpret what their messianic expectations were. Each one of the Gospels has that event in them. And all of them have pretty much the same outcome to that event. Mark will tell us that there were 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. Matthew and Luke kind of shorten it a little bit and said, tells us that there were 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. In John's gospel, which has our text for us this morning, it reminds us that there were 12 baskets with fragments from the bread that was left over that had been eaten. So we have this event, and we have this recording in all four Gospels that Jesus, that they gathered up 12 baskets full. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did they gather up the broken pieces of bread off the hillside in the first place? Come on, Jesus. let the birds, the bugs, and the little beast show up. It'll be gone. Don't worry about it. But yet he does. Gather up the fragments, the broken pieces, that nothing be lost. And in that, I think we get the sense that there's something precious that he's talking about, that nothing be lost. We think broken pieces of bread on the hillside, so big deal. But Jesus said, no, that nothing be lost. And not lost in the sense of, wow, where did we put those broken pieces of bread? Not lost like that. Not lost in the sense of, I wonder if they're ever going to find their way home. Lost. But lost in the sense of lost to no purpose. The NIV translates this, let nothing be wasted. I love that. But what does that say about Jesus, that he would be so concerned about broken pieces of bread? For me, it reveals, first of all, his redemptive heart. And Jesus came to reveal the redemptive heart of the Father. You want to know what God is like? Take a good look at Jesus. He is what God is like. And it's important for us some days not just to listen to what Jesus said as a revelation of who God is, but it's important for us to look at what Jesus did as a revelation of who God is. But that's another sermon on another day, okay? Broken pieces of bread. That excites my heart. That wells up in me. It's like, whoa, this is so cool. And you say, what are you talking about, Bill? Broken pieces of bread. Well, yeah, but if he is so concerned about broken pieces of bread on the hillside that he would say, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost, how much more would he be concerned about the broken pieces of our lives? Truth be told, there's wreckage on the path behind all of us. If we were to turn and look back in life and look at the path of this journey that we've been on that's got us to where we are, we'd have to realize, oh my goodness, there have been all kinds of broken world experiences that I've experienced. For some of us, more than a few of us in here have had some bitter disappointments. Things that we look forward to, counted on, what we're hoping for, never happened. We had dreams that were shattered, expectations. There were times that we might have attempted to do some things and failed. And it just left us with bitterness, with this bitter taste in life. Some of us, more than a few of us, have been the victims of other people's sin, where they've come and they've taken things from us, maybe not physically, but they have, in the way that they've treated us, robbed us of so much. And it's hard. Some we're hurt and we're angry and maybe bitter and maybe having a hard time to forgive. But those are broken pieces. Yeah. But the crazy thing about life is not just that we've been victims of sin. Doggone it. We've been perpetrators of it too, haven't we? We were hurt. And hurt people hurt people. And we have hurt others. And realize, maybe, I hope that we realize that as much damage as we did to someone else, we always did more damage to ourselves in hurting others. And maybe we've got to a place in life where we've asked for forgiveness and they said yes. Maybe not. That's hard. And maybe we've gone to God and asked forgiveness and he said yes. But maybe we've gone to ourselves and we're still having a hard time forgiving ourselves. We live with a sense of shame and guilt and burden. Broken experiences, broken pieces of life that have come our way. We live in a broken, fallen world, and this is just one of the realities of life this side of being in the presence of God for eternity. But we, if we look back, we realize there's broken pieces there. What do we do with broken pieces? Well, my fear is that most of the time, we just try to forget them and go on. So I want to deal with it. I want to think about it. You know, those broken pieces back there in my history, you know, those are tough times. I want to think about it. I want to go there. I just want to forget about all of that and go on. And as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? You know, to live wholeheartedly, we need to be whole and a heart. Wholehearted living doesn't come from a broken heart. But Jesus says, here Jesus says, gather up the broken pieces that nothing be lost. Because Jesus doesn't want to waste a single broken world experience that we've ever gone through. Jesus wants to reach back into our life and gather this up and bring wholeness and healing to life again, fresh. This is what he's saying here in this passage of Scripture. Man, that's good news. It's scary news. Because some, you know, again, I want to deal with it. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we sang a song in church called Give of Your Best to the Master. And I get that, you know. There's way too often that we give God leftovers, right? We invest so much of life in everything else. And then we come and it's, well, that's all I got left over, God. I guess I can let you have it. But really, give of your best to the master, really? As though our best would ever be good enough in and of ourselves? That we would try to take this broken life that we have and try to somehow hide enough of it where other people don't see? You know, boy, we were wearing masks long before COVID. Right. Try to hide it and then try to somehow go out and prove to God that he didn't have to be embarrassed by us belonging to him, trying to do something on it. Really? God's not after our best. What does God really want? He wants our brokenness. God is saying, I want you to let's gather up these broken pieces and put them together, because God intends to use these broken pieces just to create a thing of beauty. In Japan, there is an art form called kintsugi. Kintsugi, I think that's the way what they call it. You know, my Japanese isn't that great. But what they do is they take broken vessels and they put them back together with gold in the seams. And they take what seems to be a worthless, broken object and they make it a thing of profound beauty. Let me tell you something. That is what God is in the business of doing with people who will let God gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. God wants to take us and remake us so that he can then share the life of Jesus through us with people that live around us in a broken world. I preach another sermon that's related to the one I'm preaching. I'm going to drop it in, the short version here, real quick, okay? In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of ourselves. He reminds us that we were a bunch of crackpots. We were broken vessels. God made us from common clay, and we came, and life shattered us, but God then put us back together. But one of the things that some people suggest is that goal of the Christian life is that we now take the pieces that God has put back together and that we fill in all the cracks, we smooth the surface, we paint it pretty, we glaze the surface, we gild the edge, and we put it up on a high shelf somewhere to impress people with what beautiful Christians we are now. And I want to suggest to you that this is the farthest thing from what God intends for us to do. God doesn't want us to hide our broken past, but God wants to use our broken past to be the testimony of his goodness and grace to a world that's lost and broken. Broken people in your world look up at the fancy vases up on the shelf and they think, that'll never be me. If that's what Christianity is, there's no hope for me in that. But when they look at a bowl that has been broken and then put back together, and then they begin to experience through your life the very life of Jesus, oh my goodness, it's a whole new ballgame, isn't it? Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power would be of God, not of ourselves. He said, in order that the life of Christ might be manifest in us. And then in case we miss it, he said, in order that the life of Christ may be manifest in our mortal bodies. God wants to bring Jesus to this world, and he wants to use our brokenness to do it. And it is a thing of beauty that he intends to create. Oh, I wish I could sing. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. He makes beautiful things. He makes beautiful things out of us. Now you know why they didn't ask me to sing today. They asked me to preach, right? But do we get it? It's a thing of beauty. Let me do this real quick. Let me show you something else. In the early 1800s, Giacomo Raffaele was commissioned by Napoleon to do a mosaic of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. It hangs on a church. This thing is 30 feet long, about 12, I think, feet, maybe 12 to 13 feet high, weighs about 20 tons. It's hanging in a church in Vienna, Austria. I don't know. It was intended by Napoleon to be a gift to his wife, Josephine. Don't ask me where they plan to put it, you know. Honey, guess what I've got planned for the dining room, you know, or I don't know. But by the time Giacomo Raffaele had finally finished it, Napoleon, his circumstances changed. He didn't have a palace to put it in. Didn't have any money. Anyway, it ended up in the church. But it is a picture of, it's a reproduction of Leonardo da Vinci's fresco. Did we back up to it? Yeah. And man, that was in tough shape, isn't it? But the mosaic, different thing, where this was painted on a wall and life and humidity and everything has changed that. Give me a close-up of this puppy, all righty? Oh, man, I wish you could get up close and see. There's little bitty pieces of pottery and glass here, little tiny ones, all put together. It's a huge piece. Thousands and thousands of pieces that brought this together to be this beautiful masterpiece that was a copy of an original. You know what Raffaele and his assistants did when they got ready to put this together? They didn't go to the finest glass and pottery shops in town and buy beautiful glass and pottery to use to put this together. You know what they did? It went to the garbage dump. Well, the world had said, worthless, no good. Throw it away. It's junk. Nothing can be done with that. They gathered up the fragments and made this. God wants to gather up the broken pieces of your life and put them together to be a reflection of an earlier masterpiece, Jesus. You going to let him do that? I want to finish with one story. When my son, who now has three boys himself, who I found out later on watched the morning worship service and heard me tell his story and brag on my grandson, Will, my namesake. Anyway, when Jeremy was probably around 5-6 years old, he was a Lego maniac, loved Legos. You know, ate it up, always doing things. Anyway, he came to me one day and handed me some pieces and said, Dad, could you help me put this together? And I'm kind of looking at it. Is this that, you know, long black boat with the guy standing up, you know? Yeah, that's what it is. So I'm kind of trying to fit things together here for a bit. And I got to a point where it was like, man, something's just not coming together here. I'm trying hard, but and it was like, oh, my goodness, I think there's some pieces missing. And that's when I looked up at Jeremy, and that's when I noticed he was sitting there with his fist behind his back. Jeremy, what you got in your hand? Nothing. Really? Nothing. I said, well, Jeremy, why don't you pull your hand out here and open it up and let me look in it? No, don't want to. I said, well, there's nothing in it, right? Nothing. I said, well, why don't you just pull your hand out and open it up and let me look and see the nothing that's in your hand? And, you know, he resisted, and I'm insistent. And finally, you know, the little lip curls, and he pulls the little hand out, and he opens his hand, and I look, and there in his hand are the pieces that I need to complete the thing that he had given me. And I said to him, I said, Jeremy, I can't finish this without those pieces. He said, well, I wanted them for something else. And that's when the Spirit of God just, I said, Bill, you want me to put your life together. But you keep holding back the pieces. I can only put your life and make it whole to the degree that you're willing to give me all the pieces. That's hard. We're hiding stuff behind our back, pieces. Because we don't want to bring them up, or we don't want to think about them, or we don't want to let go of them. Because we have other plans. But God, we come to God and we say, God, fix my life. Make it whole. Use it. All with hands behind our back. God is saying to us, give me the pieces. God is not about, give me your best. God is all about, give me your brokenness. Surrender your life to me. Give me the pieces. And quite frankly, folks, it's not always an easy thing to do. You know, some of you may be able to just go to God, okay, here's a piece of paper, and that. Most of the rest of us may need to go and talk to a counselor at church, sit down with a pastor, or talk to another friend, and just kind of get some things out. Some of you may be able to do that, but the rest of us, we may need a counselor, somebody to spend some time with, somebody that's trained to help us kind of just open this heart up and let Jesus go down to where the hurt has been the deepest. And reach into that part of our life and gather that piece up, pull it out, and redeem it. But this morning, God wants to do something wonderful. Jesus said, let's gather up the broken pieces that nothing be lost. There is not anything in your life, not anything in your history that God doesn't want to use today. If you're willing to give him all the pieces of your life. Let's pray. Father,